The following is a presentation of the Belly Up Sports Media Network.
Here's what's cooking on an all new edition of the Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show. We are replacing Spencer Strider. Can you do it? Well, we're going to explain how we think you can. We're going to talk about the Major League Baseball news, the council curse, and the ever so popular weekly ads and drops. That's what's cooking on today's Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show.
Play ball.
Welcome in to an all new edition of the Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show, presented by Righteous Felon Jerky, SeatGeek, and BellyUpFantasySports.com. I'm your host, Vince Stover, and I am joined by the hot dog vendor and the senior writer at Belly Up Fantasy Sports, the one and only Kevin Wilson. Let me push the right button. There he is. Kevin, how you doing, man?
We're doing great, and, you know, I'd just like to report that we had an unobstructed view of the total eclipse.
Yeah.
On Monday here, the clouds cleared out just in time so we could see it, and if anybody out there has ever questioned the, if God exists, it was not apparent that day, because it was fabulous. I've never seen any or experienced anything like it.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I worked. I did look briefly into the sun. We had a lot of clouds here in Kentucky, but they rolled through. We looked at some of it, and then went back to work. So
I was off at 11 that morning, and I was with my wife. We were able to see it together, so that was a very, very exciting experience.
All right, awesome. Well, thanks for being on again, as you are, of course, every week. And we got a lot to talk about today, Kevin.
Yeah.
Start with a topic that is close to your heart.
Yes.
Replacing.
Close and no. My heart is torn asunder about what we're getting ready to talk about right now.
May you rest in peace. All right. Let's get into our first segment of Fantasy Burner. Fantasy Burner segment is presented by SeatGeek. SeatGeek.com is where you can go to find the tickets to your next baseball game, concert, or whatever else it may be. And if you use the code BellyUpSports, you're going to get $20 off your first purchase. Today on our Fantasy Burner segment, we are talking about burying Spencer Strider and bringing to life someone who can replace him. Spencer Strider is too much of a sissy to survive the injury. I'm kidding, of course. Poor guy. I feel bad for him. But... he's down for the count. He's done for the season. They officially said no reason to keep him on your IL any longer. All hope is lost. So we've talked about this before, Kevin, briefly. Like, replacing Strider, in the past we talked about, you know, short-term, just throwing some guys in, making things work. But the reality is now you've got to start thinking long-term for the rest of the season. What am I going to do to fill a guy that I drafted, you know, I didn't draft personally, but that was drafted in the top five of pretty much every draft everywhere. And
drafted him right here.
You drafted him. My son drafted him in another league that he's in. And again, all these top five picks, but we got to replace them. So I'm curious to know, I've got four names for you, but I'm curious to know what you're thinking. How are you replacing Spencer Strider?
Well, if we're going to talk about short term, we could talk about some players you could add, but I'm not going to go there. I'm looking at players that you can trade for that could possibly, because there's nobody on the waiver. Well, there's no replacing Spencer Strider to begin with, and there's no one on the waiver wire that's going to replace him. So I'm going to see if I can go about the trade route and find someone that can replace him.
Do you have a name of that? Like, what's the caliber of guy that you can go get on the trade market right now? Because you're going to have to give up offense probably to go get.
Yes. Okay, so the players that I'm looking for, and I've got three names here, and pitchers who aren't exactly lighting up the joint, but have a lot of upside that whomever has them on their roster might be flipping out just a little bit because they're not pitching well, and perhaps you can offer a hitter on your team. Maybe they need a hitter. You can look at their roster. But the first name that's going to come to mind for me, and that's George Kirby of the Seattle Mariners. And let's look at this. He was drafted number 24 overall in our league. So that means he was a third round pick. He's got a massive amount of upside, but he's 1-2 with a 6.91 ERA with a 1.47 whip. All right. So it's not looking good so far, but we all know what he's capable of doing. So I am going to show up. And like I said, I'm going to pursue what he has on his team, what his needs are, and see if he's ready to make a deal, because his belief level in George Kirby has dropped, and try and make a trade that way and see if we can come to an agreement for somebody that I think could, because we all know he's talented.
Right.
And if he gets right, then he come reasonably close to replacing Spencer Strider's numbers. And so that's where I'm going to look first.
I like it. I think that's a wise move, looking at the trade market and who is out there. I went a different direction on this, Kevin. I looked at who was out there in the waiver wire and started thinking through some different guys. The first option is the injured guys, but the reality is the really good guys that are on the IL that are getting ready to come back are already claimed. Every league I'm in, Max Scherzer's on a team, Walker Buehler's on a team, but those kind of guys are the kind of guys, if they're available in your league, they're getting ready to come back here soon. Go get them and get them on your roster, because they're going to pitch again this season and actually here in the next couple weeks. But I'm going to give you the most surprising two words you can possibly think of when it comes to replacing Spencer Strider. Are you ready for this, Kevin?
I'm ready. I'm sitting down.
All right. The two words are Pittsburgh Pirates.
Okay.
All right. The Pirates rotation is absolutely crushing it this season, and they've got some guys available right now on some waiver wires out there. Let's start with Jared Jones. He's the most owned Pittsburgh starting pitcher outside of Mitch Keller. But Jared Jones is only owned in 40% of leagues. So there's a chance he's available in someone's league that's listening to us. His record's 1-2. His ERA is 4.0. 25 strikeouts. He's pitched two quality starts in his three starts so far. And in the start that he did not get his quality start, he had 10 strikeouts. So the kid's putting up points. He's young. He's energetic, and he's slinging the rock right now. Martin Perez, the former Texas Ranger. He's available in our league, and I don't know who dropped him, but they dropped him. So we can't pick him up and start him tomorrow when he pitches. The waiver wire doesn't come through until Tuesday on him. And so it's just like, do I pick him up this week and not have him pitch for a while? He's only owned in 12% of leagues. This week, if you can get him in your league, he's pitching against the Mets tomorrow, Monday. So go get him if you can, and if you can play him in your league. Like I said, we can't play him because the waiver wire won't clear in time. But Martin Perez has been phenomenal to start this year. 1-0 is his record. He's a 1.89 ERA, 1.21 whip, 15 strikeouts, two quality starts. The kid he's looking great. Now, this guy's not going to replace Spencer Strider, but Bailey Falter, another Pittsburgh Pirates pitcher, is owned in 0.4% of leagues. And he's not doing too shabby himself right now. Let's see here. Let me grab his stats real quick. 1-0, 4.20, six strikeouts, 0.93 whip. But his last two games against Baltimore and Philadelphia, he goes six innings and five innings. Fantasy points-wise, 18 points in both of those, only giving up one earned run. So, again, he's not going to replace Strider. But who would have thought you could look to the Pirates for pitching help? Oh, by the way, there's this guy named Paul Skeens, currently in AAA, currently crushing it in AAA. If he's available in your league, I think he's worth a stash. He's going to come up probably in May. I think he's worth, if, especially if you had Strider, I think you go and get him on your team, stash him, because he has that potential to be exactly what he needs to be. And then all things are good from there. So I'm intrigued by this. I think it's interesting to see the Pirates playing well. And listen, I'm the most skeptical Pirates person out there. I don't believe in the Pittsburgh Pirates, but you cannot ignore what they're doing right now. And I think that they're worth having on. Give me one more name, though, for you, Kevin, as a guy that also still not called up.
Okay.
Paul Skenes. I'm all choked up about it. Paul Skenes is one of those guys. But Ricky Tiedemann from Toronto, Toronto's top pitching prospect, expected to be called up in May. So, again, if you've got Strider, you might patch it along for right now. But finding those guys who get called up, I think that's where you got to start looking and say, okay, who's going to be the next guy who's going to get called up that's going to give me a legit opportunity? And if I can get them and I have the opportunity to stash them for now, as long as it pays off for me in the future, then I think those are the kind of guys that are worth looking at.
All right. So a couple more, two more names I have is and I can't believe I'm bringing this guy up, but he pitches for the Miami Marlins. I mean, yeah. It's Jesus Luzardo.
Oh, that's not where I thought you were going. Okay.
Nope. He was drafted number 30 overall in our league. So here's another third round guy who he's 0-2 with a 720 ERA. And he just pitched today against Atlanta. So he's cleared Atlanta, at least. They put 5 runs on 7 hits and 5 innings. It's looking really bad for him. But he pitches in Miami, which is a pitcher's park. And so I think that will give him a little boost. But now, like I said, he has cleared Atlanta. So, and he'll pitch against them, of course, later. But he didn't turn out to be completely disastrous. So perhaps he will feel, you know, some oats, if you will, and get back on him, because, like I said, he is another guy who's got talent and another guy that you could approach whoever owns, you know, has him on his roster. Hey, what do you need? And make a trade and get him on your team. And the last name, and I really can't believe this because of he was absolutely, you know, lifeboat has no, it's not no life because it went down for the final time. But I'm talking about Hunter Brown of the Houston Astros, who, when he was last seen, gave up. Now, someone needs to explain why you leave a pitcher in to give up 11 hits. Okay. I don't understand that. He gave up 11 hits and walked and 9 earned runs in just 2/3 of an inning. And, so it's not looking good. He's already dropped in our league.
Yeah.
And so, which I can certainly understand. But, and Houston has been awful, way more awful than we thought. But you got to figure they're going to straighten out at some point. And so, but he's probably not available all over the place because his, I didn't write it down here, but it's like 30%, something like that. 40%, somewhere in that area. So he's probably on somebody's roster. Whoever has him is probably ready to smash their head through a windshield. And so it wouldn't take much to get him, you would think.
I wouldn't think it'd take anything at all. I mean, my goodness, 16.43 ERA. The name I thought you were going with in Miami, though, was a name that got brought up as well in the comments, Max Meyer. Young guy there, and he started off really well. St. Louis and Atlanta, he got 6 innings in both of those games, 20-plus points in both of those games as well. His first game against the Angels, 5 innings, 4 strikeouts. He's only let 4 earned runs all season so far. His next game is Thursday against Chicago. If he's available, he's not available in our league, but 9.8%. Owned, another Miami Marlins pitcher. Actually, it's Nathan Nguyen. I found him on the waiver wire. So congrats to Nate on that. But that's where I thought you were going, when you brought up the Marlins. But hearing you bring up Hunter Brown is not at all what I expected.
No, well, it's not what I expected either, but I was looking through and I'm just looking for guys who have upside.
You're taking a swing, guys. If you lose
Strider, because like we said, you're not replacing Spencer Strider. You're not doing that.
Yeah.
So, and your team's probably, you know, maybe on its last gasp to begin with. So if that's the case, take a swing, get somebody that has upside because you need upside and see. And if it goes, you know, I wouldn't give Hunter Brown a leash longer than my arm. But
okay,
he couldn't possibly be worse than what he's done. So because he faced Texas before that, we all know Texas offense is on fire, and then he faced Kansas City. And Kansas City, we'll get into some standings probably a little bit later. Yeah. They lead the entire major leagues in run differential, so they've got an offense over there in Kansas City, which. That's not going to stick. I, readily acknowledge that. But I don't know if another pitcher who has as much upside as Hunter Brown does. So, as much, improvement that he can come up with. How about that? So,
he can only improve.
He can only improve. And so,
okay. All right.
I came up with those guys. I did write an article, which you can get on the fantasy, Belly Up Fantasy website that chronicles pitchers, five of them that I said that you can add. And I didn't want to get into that because I already put pen to paper on those guys, and those are waiver pickups. These guys, I thought, well, try and see if you can make a swing and get somebody that has upside and just see how it works. And add some, the guys that you're mentioning, and I wrote about in the meantime and see how that goes, and just do what you can to replace almost, the golden arm. So,
all right. We had a question come through on YouTube here that I think I'd like to answer. Auto draft category league. He had three first basemen, Naylor, Yanir Diaz, Pete Alonso. He's unsteady at third base. Would you trade Alonso for Jose Ramirez? First of all, I'll say this. Whether you were strong in first base or not, we would trade Alonso for Jose Ramirez.
Yeah. We might trade all three of those guys for Jose Ramirez. But, I were big on Jose Ramirez. If somebody will bite on that, you take that and run for the hills.
Yeah. I think if you can get Jose Ramirez, especially if you can get him for just Pete Alonso, I'd take that. I'd take that deal in a heartbeat if you can. There are some third basemen out there. We'll talk about it actually even in our ads today. I've got two third basemen in our ads that'll come here at the end of the show. So thanks, James, for tuning in, by the way, and appreciate you commenting throughout the program.
That's right.
All right. That's our segment number one's Fantasy Burner, presented by SeatGeek.com. Use the code BellyUpSports. You're going to get $20 off your purchase. Let's head in to our second segment, our Call to the Pin. Our Call to the Pin is presented by Righteous Felon Jerky. It's time to join the flavor revolution, and you can do it at RighteousFelon.com. Find your new favorite jerky flavor at RighteousFelon.com and use the code STOVE15, STOVE15. You're going to get 15% off your purchase each and every time you check out, and you will not regret it. All right, let's jump right in. We've already kind of talked about the Strider injury. He's done for the year, so we won't spend any more time on that. But Jackson Holliday makes a debut, and it wasn't fantastic, of course. He got his first hit today, actually. RBI, I think, in that game, that first game, and he saw his glove a little bit too. What are your thoughts on the Jackson Holliday debut?
Well, we've talked about this and since he got called up at this point, I don't understand why he was in the minors to begin with. But he's up now, and he had a chance because Jackson Chirio of your Milwaukee Brewers was in town. So he had a chance to go pretty much toe-to-toe with someone that's almost as highly and has shown out so far this year. And until today, Jackson Holliday's pretty much fallen flat on his face. As he didn't have any hits. He had 7 strikeouts. He was out of the lineup yesterday. But we all know that he's got the talent, and I know you drafted him and kept him on your roster. That was the smart play. And so I'm excited to see what exactly he can do. And if you look at him, he looks like Opie Taylor to me. But don't let that fool you, because he is extraordinarily talented. I'm excited to see what he can do. And that Baltimore lineup is a strong, strong lineup. So he's going to have opportunities to drive in and score runs. So I'm just wanting to see what he's got going. No, I'll just open the hood and let's see what he's got underneath there.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not too concerned about him. My biggest concern would be that the Orioles are stupid and send him back down.
But
he'll figure it out, and everything will flow along just fine for him. The Orioles are in a tough division, of course. The Yankees 2.5 up on them right now. Baltimore, Boston, Tampa, and Toronto are right there within a game and a half of each other. I don't know. What are your thoughts on the AL East so far? Yankees seem to be, even with their pitching situation, seem to be doing just fine.
They're doing great. And so Nestor Cortes was somebody that you and I are like, he's not a number one pitcher, but he's come around. And so they've lost 4 games. Here we are 16 games or so into the season. They're 12-4 coming into today. And so you got to like what you're seeing. Brent's got to be standing on his head over there because of what they're doing. And Baltimore, every team is 500 or better in that division. So AL East is everything we thought it would be. And just because the Yankees are off, that's a little different, because remember, last couple of years, the Yankees have started off as about as cold as you could possibly, ice block in the freezer kind of cold. And so now they're starting off hot, and they're not the team that's going to wilt under the microscope because they play in New York. So I think that you got to like what they're doing.
Yeah, I agree. AL Central, it's a 3-horse race, Cleveland, KC, and Detroit. And I'll tell you what, Kevin, if I was brand new to baseball, I think I'd be jumping on the Royals bandwagon. I love this team and what they're doing and how they're doing it all at the same time. And right there, a half game back from Cleveland and Detroit, of course, in the race too. We talked about them already this season. Yep. But I love what KC's doing this year.
I do too. And because Detroit and Kansas City are two teams that we have discussed previously as being, we mentioned dark horses. Well, they're just horses now. And so, as I mentioned earlier, Kansas City has the best run differential in the American League. And so they got an offense, they've got pitching, and our little darling MJ Melendez is hitting. And the catcher who's, 40 or whatever old he is, was going to swing the bat, he is. And so I like everything they're doing. Cole Reagans has looked good. And so they got pitching, they've got the hitting. So, let's get down to business in the division and see who, Minnesota does not look good. And we knew the White Sox were going to be terrible, which they are. And so, but 3-team race, as you mentioned. So we're going to have a heck of a race coming up during the summer.
Yeah. Salvador Perez went down today.
Oh, no.
Left groin and hip injuries.
Mike being just blown out of the water. I don't know what else to tell you.
Don't know much about it at this point. Don't know if it's going to end up being anything too long or anything. But I did see that he got hurt here today. We talked about the AL East. Everyone's 500 or above. If you go to the AL West, everyone's 500 or below. The Rangers are at 500. And then the Angels are sitting there at a half a game back. And, by the way, the Oakland/Sacramento/Las Vegas A's are only a game back right now from the division lead in the AL West. How long are the Angels and the A's going to stick around in contention?
Well, we have no, at least I don't, I'm sure you don't either, have any confidence whatever in the Oakland/Sacramento or whatever they are, okay, A's. We have no confidence in them, and I'd like to have confidence in the Angels, which I do not. And, Trout is everything Trout could possibly be, and so he's swinging the bat. Their offense is looking good. Tyler Anderson's looking good. And so they're going to stay in the race longer than Oakland. The question is how long is Houston, all right? Because you're looking at the Houston is in last place in that division, yeah. And they have a minus 16 run differential. With that offense, that should never be the case, but it is. And so you got to wonder, you know, and Framber Valdez is a guy who we did not talk about so far. And I wrote about him in my article. It looked like he was going to be reevaluated. Well, he was already, and he's down for 60 days. So that's not good for Houston at all. And
you've got Valdez, you've got Verlander, you've got your Quiddy, you've got McCullers, and you've got Garcia, all down with injuries. Graveman, a relief pitcher, another relief pitcher. They got all kinds of injury issues. I'm going to hold off judging Houston until they get healthy, and then I'll see if I care. At this point, they're only 2.5 back, even though they're horrible. And so, you know, as long as they don't let someone get a 10 game lead on them, they're going to be okay. I still believe in Houston more than I believe in the Angels and the A's.
Yes, that's true. And, they'll be, once you mentioned they get healthy, they'll be back up there in second place. And, the Rangers, the local Rangers, they started off like gangbusters. They're pitching has been a soft spot, and so they're just 8-8 entering as we talk right now. So we expected better out of them. They're struggling, so that's going to leave Houston open to make a move when they do get healthy.
Yeah, I agree. NL West, Dodgers are in control right now, 2.5 up on Arizona. San Diego's 3 back. Then you got San Fran and Colorado after that. I'm still waiting again on Arizona to get healthy, because their top two pitchers have been really good, but they're going to get healthy. And when they do, Jordan Montgomery, when he gets in and pitches, Rodriguez, when he's back, it's still going to be a little bit of time for him. But when he comes back, I still think Arizona is as dangerous as anybody in the NL West.
And so they can push down Fod, however you pronounce that guy's name. And you know the guy I'm talking about who we saw pitch, because it was on TV here. He got rocked for 6 runs in the first 2 innings, settled down after that. Yeah. But he's nobody's top end of the rotation pitcher. So those other guys get healthy and push him down, and they should be fine. And if these guys don't get healthy, San Diego, they're 8-9.
Yeah.
I expected more out of them. Okay. We both did.
Really? Yeah. I mean,
because we thought there's no way they could be as bad as they were a year ago. You and I both mentioned that. Yeah. But here they are, 1 game below 500.
Yeah. I still don't feel like they're as bad as last year. Even at 8-9.
No, they're not bad.
The expectation's different, I think, there too. Let's jump up to the NL Central. My Milwaukee Brewers in first place, tied with the Pittsburgh Pirates. A really good series Milwaukee had against Baltimore. And again, Freddie Peralta. Oh my goodness. I had my doubts.
Me too. And you did. I did.
It's been good.
Chase did. But cancel the doubts.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Now, if you're a St. Louis Cardinals fan, go ahead and keep those doubts in, because the Cardinals look like they are not going to compete in this division, even though they're only 4 games back. But it looks like right now it's Cincinnati, Chicago, Pittsburgh, and Milwaukee. And St. Louis is, I think, clearly at the bottom of that division.
I do, too. And I thought we didn't know what we were getting out of St. Louis.
Right.
We thought, well, once again, they can't be as bad as they were a year ago. But we didn't, I know that you were holding up hope for your Milwaukee Brewers. But here we are sitting here, and Milwaukee has the best run differential in the National League.
Yeah.
And so you got to like what they're doing. Their offense is cooking. They're getting pitching. And so far, Devin, they haven't missed him. So right. You got to like what you're seeing out of them. And Pittsburgh, they all need to come together and sing Kumbaya, around the stadium or whatever, because there's no chance that anybody thought they'd be this good this, early.
Yeah, one of the things I say about people, Milwaukee fans that are getting so excited, is I just remind them we can't play Cincinnati every day. So calm down. It'll be okay. We get to play them a couple times, but don't get to play. We put up a whole bunch of runs against Cincinnati. But let's see here. Let's finish off the standings here with the NL East. It's Atlanta, Philadelphia. Now, the Mets have become respectable after their horrible start. They're 7-3 in their last 10. Okay. I still think this is a two-horse race between Atlanta and Philly.
I do as well. And Philadelphia being 8-8 is a disappointment. And they can't, Strider's down. And so they're kind of walking with one leg, short,
right,
if you will. But, guys like Charlie Morton and Chris Sale and guys like that need to step up. But they're veterans. They know how to do that. So Philadelphia better not let Atlanta get too far out in front. But we've seen them come back. We've seen it 2 years in a row. And so our two Phillies fans, don't be, screaming and, wake up screaming in bed just yet, because they can do it. And they got a wounded animal in front of them. So don't lose hope for Philadelphia.
All right. It is time for one of our new favorite segments in our
That's
show.
Right. I'm ready for that. I'm ready.
It's the Council Curse Track. So just a reminder, Craig Council is the scum of the earth. And and leaving Milwaukee to go to Chicago, the baseball gods will not respect that move. And have chosen to curse the Cubs this year because of Craig Council. The latest affected by this curse is relief pitcher Julian Merriweather. Hurt his ribs. He's out for a whole month. And you'd think, well, why in the world would the baseball gods be mad at Julian Merriweather? Well, they're not. They're mad at Craig Council. Another one gets hit. And so the Council curse continues throughout this year so far. Any thoughts on the Council curse?
I do have a couple of the curse is not affecting the Cubs as they're 9-6, but and you had mentioned that this was going to affect veteran players more than it would, the guys that just walked in off the street or got called up from Iowa or wherever else. But so right now, Bellinger, right?
Yeah.
167, two homers, 10 RBIs. Mm-hmm. Nico Horner, it's even worse. It's way worse. 171, no homers, one RBI. So both of those guys, the curse, maybe they looked up at the eclipse too long, I don't know, but their vision's affected because they're not hitting. And so those two guys, especially those two, are being affected by this. And you got to, because I've got Bellinger on the team, our league, and yeah, another league I'm in, I've got Nico Horner. So the curse is in full effect in the Wilson universe. So they need to, there is nothing they can do. I guess there's nothing. So right, we just have to live with it.
Yeah. It's a tough life that they got to live, but you know what? It is what it is. I'm trying to find, okay, here it is. One guy that's not being affected by this curse is Shota. How do you say that's his right. name?
I don't know. I would like to really find out how you pronounce this last name, because it's a great last name.
Imanaga, something like that. He has yet to allow a single earned run. That they did score against him, but it was not an earned run. Did not go against him. So far this season, Shota is doing pretty solid. He's doing okay.
Is that because he's a foreigner? Maybe he's,
Well, I don't like the word of that way, Kevin. We're a little bit more sensitive than that, but he's not the baseball gods understand, and they're not going to take it out on someone. I don't know. Watch out, Shota. It may be coming to you next, but nonetheless, there's our Council tracker for the day. and there, so we're getting ready to head into our third segment, but first, a reminder, our call to the pen is presented by Righteous Felon Jerky. If you go to righteousfelon.com, use that code Stove15, you're going to get 15% off your purchase. And that'll bring us into our ever so popular ads and drops segment we call Fantasy Focus. Fantasy Focus is presented by BellyUpFantasySports.com, your one-stop shop for all fantasy articles regarding fantasy football, fantasy basketball, fantasy baseball, fantasy hockey, whatever you can think of. It's all there on BellyUpFantasySports.com. And, of course, it's the place where you can find all of Kevin Wilson's articles as well. Real quick, if you're looking to add people this week, there's probably not a whole lot to add in Philadelphia, but the Phillies are playing Colorado and the White Sox this week, so that's a good team if you're looking to add somebody this week to go find. And San Francisco is playing Miami at the beginning of the week. You might be able to find some value on San Francisco's roster this week. Before we get into our ads and drops, Kevin, another question from James I'd like to bring up and get your opinion on. Categories, leagues, any thoughts on preference for these free agents? Starting pitcher Jose Buto, Paul Blackburn, or Mackenzie Gore?
Okay, so I just happen to have Mackenzie Gore down here as one of my ads.
I love Mackenzie Gore. Yeah.
Mackenzie Gore, and this could go back to when we were talking about Spencer Strider earlier. Mm-hmm. All these, the pitchers that I have here that could be added, could, you know, you could use those for those guys. Mackenzie Gore is at the top of my list of ads this week. Even though he pitches for Washington, which is not, you know, an advantage, but he is pitching and he's only at 16.9%. This is a real mystery to me. And 2-0, 2.81, 1.19 whip. He has 55 fantasy points, 16 innings. He has 23 strikeouts and 5 walks.
Yeah,
that's solid all the way around. Mackenzie Gore is the answer to this question.
Yeah, I will say Jose Buto is a guy that I like also. He is two quality starts against Detroit and Kansas City. He's got 9 strikeouts in his last start, 6 in his first start. Only allowed 1 earned run. 1.50 is his ERA, 1.00 whip as well. His next start is, I don't know when his next start is. Later this week, I guess. So, and again, he's available. So I like that as well. I don't got much on Paul Blackburn. He's the A's, right? I believe. And I'm staying away.
Yes.
I'm staying away from all Athletics, especially pitchers. Even though some of them do turn out some decent value. He's got 3 quality starts as well. He's not going to get you a lot of strikeouts. So in a categories league, I think probably Blackburn's a better points league pickup than he would be a categories league. But I think both Buto and Gore are solid pickups in categories or points leagues as well. So
I do too. And Blackburn's not widely available. He's not available in our league, and he's at 32.5% rostered. So that's why I didn't talk about him. And you're correct. 1-0, his ERA is 0.
Nice. Yeah.
And he pitches against St. Louis on Wednesday.
Ooh, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, you got to like that because I've got it written down here. St. Louis are 23rd in hitting, 24th in on-base percentage, 23rd in slugging, and 21st in home runs hit.
Okay. So maybe go out and get you some A's this week.
I've got one other one, A's, okay, that I'm going to talk about in a minute.
All right, so you had Gore on your ads list.
Yes.
A guy that we already talked about, but I'll throw it out there anyhow, Martin Perez, again, if he's available in your league and you can play him this week. I am so mad at whoever dropped him for how they did that. 12.7% owned, 1.89 ERA, 2 quality starts, 15 strikeouts, and in our points league, he has 2 20-plus point games already this year, he's a valuable pickup. Especially he pitches tomorrow, Monday. So if you can get him and get him in your lineup for Monday, I think it's a valuable pickup there. Who else you got, Kev? Who else should we pick up?
Okay, so the other Oakland A's guy I have who's facing St. Louis on Tuesday is J.P. Sears. He's at 3.7% rostered. And did you see what he did against the Texas Rangers, his last start? 6 3rd innings. He didn't give up a hit till the 6th inning. He struck out 5, walked 3, has 26 fantasy points on the season. And as I mentioned, facing St. Louis on Tuesday at home in that spacious ballpark. And so that is a quality start to me. even though none of us trust Oakland, but he'll get you five innings at least, five, six innings, maybe more. And so if, you know, we're talking about ads for just this week, right. JP Sears is another guy at the top of my list.
All right. So I'm going to throw you a guy that's not, wouldn't be what most people would think of for adding this week. It's Keaton Wynn, starting pitcher for the Giants. He's only 1% owned. He's 0-3 on the year with a 5.06 ERA. So you'd say, well, why in the world would I pick him up? Well, he's got five plus innings pitched in all three games that he's pitched. He has six strikeouts in each of his last two games, two of the three that he's pitched. And he's playing the Marlins on Wednesday. I just love the matchup. And I think if you're looking for a start, maybe you're in a league that doesn't have a limit on your starting pitching. I think Keaton Wynn's a good play this week as well. Or maybe you got injury issues or whatever it is. Maybe you're in a deep league. Keaton Wynn's probably available. So I like him to play this week. I don't love him to hold on to for very long, but I like the play for Keaton Wynn this week.
Okay, so the last pitcher that I have, and it's a real mystery to me because he's at 21.7% rostered, and that's Seth Lugo of the Kansas City Royals.
Yeah.
I don't understand how he's only at 21.7%, okay? Was he pitch against Minnesota, six innings, no runs, two hits. Pitch against Chicago, 6.2 innings, one run, eight hits. Houston, six innings, two runs, seven hits. And he's pitching against the Chicago White Sox tomorrow. So I said Gore was my first ad. If that's not the case, and Lugo is.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, he's performing.
He's got to be on more than 21% of rosters.
Yeah,
the dude pitching his rear end off. He's got an offense behind him like no other. Yeah. So if he's pitching.
So far this season, his matchup so far?
What's that?
Do you have in front of you who he's played so far this year?
Yeah, he's played Houston, the White Sox, then Minnesota. Not exactly a hunter's, you know, killer row.
Yeah.
But as I mentioned, he places the White Sox again tomorrow. Yeah. It doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah.
No better. So, and he's the guy that's in my article. That's why I didn't talk about him at the top earlier. But we can't ignore Seth Lugo anymore.
I agree.
He is at the top of the list of ads if he's available in your league.
I like it. Now, I conversed with the baseball gods before giving you this next person. I've actually mentioned him, or I don't remember if it was last week or 2 weeks ago on the show, but he's still available in a lot of leagues. So Chicago Cubs, first base, third base, Michael Busch. He's eligible first base, third base, playing first base, but he's owned in only 12.4% of leagues. He's batting .311, four home runs, and nine RBIs. He gives you a little bit of flexibility with the positioning as well. And I have it on good account that the baseball gods are not going to touch him. So Michael Busch, I think he needs to be on teams. I've got him on two, maybe three of my rosters of my four leagues. And I've got him in a categories league and in points league. I really like Michael Busch, and I think he should be on a roster. I cannot believe he's only 12% owned.
That is hard to believe. And the position player I'm going to talk about it's pretty hard to believe because he plays for the New York Yankees. That's number one, but he's only at 21.2%. And I'm talking about Oswaldo Cabrera.
Yeah, he's good.
He's, you know, he's third base and he's outfield. Not quite as good if he was middle infield, but still pretty doggone good. And he's hitting .317, three homers, 11 RBIs. He has eight runs, 37 fantasy points, and he reached base in his first 11 games of the season. So I think he was hitless today, but we all go hitless at some point. And but still, at 21.2% roster, if you need help at third, or in the outfield, He's a guy that I would look for.
All right, I've got another guy that I am really surprised he's only owned in 11.7% of leagues. Okay. He's eligible in second base and third base. He plays for the Baltimore Orioles, Jordan Westberg. He is not available in our league, of course, but he's batting .261, three home runs, 10 RBIs, two stolen bases. He has been overshadowed by all the other young guns in Baltimore's lineup. But the reality is he's playing as good as most of them. So Jordan Westberg, again, gives you some positional flexibility. And he's throwing up some different stats up there as well. And I think he should be on a ton more rosters than what he's on right now.
Okay, so you talk about a guy who's overshadowed on his own team. That's where I'm going to next, and that's Orlando Arcia,
yeah.
Okay. Atlanta Braves, on the powerful Atlanta Braves, yet he's only on 17.1% of leagues. He's hitting 360. Let me say that one more time, 360. And people want to discount batting average, but it's 360, okay? Yeah. He's got seven runs,
which by the way means, Kevin, he's not striking out as much as other people.
That's right.
You know, that there's where the value comes in a points league, for instance, is you got to understand what that translates to in your points.
That's right. And he has two 3-hit games this week. So there's value there, and he's on Atlanta, and only 17.1% rostered, which is absolutely amazing to me. And he plays shortstop, which the middle infield is not deep. So if you're in our league and you got shortstop and you got shortstop second base, is a guy right here that can fill a lot of needs.
I like Orlando from his time in Milwaukee.
That's right. Well. So,
all right. I don't have any more ads. Do you have any more ads?
One more ad, and it's the San Diego Padres. Can't believe it. Okay. But he's at 10% rostered. He plays the outfield. A guy you talk about overshadowed, and that's Drickson Profar.
Yeah.
All right. 321 batting average, 2 homers, 10 RBIs. He has 6 runs. He has hits in 11 of his first 13 games. So he's getting on base. He's kept him from the strikeouts. And like I said, he's 10% rostered. So if you need some outfield help, he's a guy that I would look for this week.
I like it. I've got him on one of my rosters as well. And yeah, he's been solid so far this year. All right, let's get the drops. I had a harder time finding drops this week, Kevin. Okay. I don't know if you were that way or not, but I've got two with an optional third. I was looking through everyone's rosters and thinking, man, I think right now you're almost in a hold pattern with a lot of these guys.
You are, and we've emphasized this before, but when we're talking about drops, because on Reddit, like I mentioned to you one time, I get taken back behind the woodshed because you're dropping people already kind of thing. But we're talking about, because we're in a 10-man league or 10-person league, and so if you're in a 10-person league, even 12, you can afford to make drops. If you're in a 20-team league, then there's nothing to talk about. But in a 10-man league, 10-person league, there's all kind of drops. And so I hate to say this, okay, because Texas Rangers down the street, all right? But Jose Leclerc, right? And I'm not a relief pitcher guy on my staff in the first place. But if you have him on your roster, this is what you have. He's 0-2 with a 12 ERA. Let me say that one more time. 12. You don't need a relief pitcher on your roster. It has a 12 ERA. Not 1.20, 12.0. Okay, 2.33 whip, -9 fantasy points. -9. So, and I almost lost my mind. I was going to talk about David Bednar, because he had the worst pitching performance I have ever seen in my life the other day, where he had something like -29 fantasy points. It almost put me into a coma. But he had a save the other day, so I wasn't going to advocate giving up David Bednar. But you can't have a relief pitcher who's got these kind of numbers. So you got to get rid of him. That's my first read.
I'll say this, you're talking about dropping guys. We've got 3 teams in our 10-man league that already have 20 or more acquisitions. I've got 18. My dad, I think, has 16. We've got 2 teams with 0 acquisitions. One of them's 1-1. The other one's 0-2, and I'm trying to beat me, but I'm holding him off at the moment. So, a lot of acquisitions going on in our league for sure. Yeah. I've got a guy who is playing for the New York Yankees. He's batting 200. He has 0 home runs, 2 RBIs, 3 stolen bases. He's 3 of 24 in the last 6 games.
Wow.
He's owned in 81.3% of leagues. He has been promoted on this program recently. Okay. Second baseman Gleyber Torres. I think it's time to move on. Second base actually is pretty strong this year. And I think that I think you can do better than Gleyber Torres. And I would try to trade him before I try to cut him. To me, I'd have a hard time being patient with what he's doing currently.
I agree with that, especially as we mentioned, 10-person league. Let's see, because I can switch over to second base. We've got Zach Galifianakis, Norman Gorman, India, just to throw out some names.
Yeah.
At second base, okay? So those guys right there could replace him, technically, if you're looking for second base help. They're on our waiver wire.
Yep.
So, yeah, so I wouldn't have a ton of patience with Gleyber Torres either, because every time you want to put your chips in his basket, it's got holes in it. So, I agree with that.
That one, I like it. Okay, all right. Who else we cutting?
So, there was a guy who going into the season, a lot of people were in on, and that's AJ Puck, if I'm saying that correctly.
Yeah.
UK. All right, but he's been okay. He's at 24.4% rostered. And it's not looking good. He pitched five innings yet. In any game, he's lost all three of his games. He's a negative 11 fantasy points coming out of his game against Pittsburgh. He's got San Francisco tomorrow. And so the time has come to ship him back to the waiver wasteland before he wrecks any more fantasy rosters. I don't believe one iota in AJ. Plus, what is your name? It's not AJ. All right. So he's got to go.
All right. So my guy that I have already cut and I've already mentioned, but I got to bring him up again because not enough people have cut him. And I found out why earlier in this program. But okay. He's 0-2. He's got only 8 strikeouts. His whip is 3.91. His ERA is 16.43. He's still owning 58.5% of leagues, and he has gone negative in the last two games that he's pitched. It's Hunter Brown from Houston, and that's why I was so surprised when you brought him up earlier. I guess I get taking a swing on a guy, but he plays Atlanta on Tuesday.
That's right.
I'm not sure. Okay, hold on.
Don't do it before Tuesday. Don't do it.
He pitched 4 innings against the Yankees, 3 innings against Texas, and 0.2 innings against Kansas City, allowing 11 hits and 9 earned runs. Now, on the bright side, he doesn't walk a ton of people, but my soul, Hunter Brown has lost it. He needs a revival. So
I'm ready to bring my hands together. Okay, Mr. Hunter Brown. All right, and I agree with you 100%. Don't do it before Tuesday. Okay. At least don't put him in your lineup, all right? So, but I'm willing to take a chance on him going forward.
Okay,
because
I was in on MJ Melendez all year last year. I can't argue too much, but I was interesting. All right, I have one question on a guy, but do you have anybody else that you think we need to drop?
Well, one guy I think we need to drop, and it's somebody that we brought up on our episode that didn't go to air, but that's Mitchell Garver.
Yeah.
The catcher and DH for the Seattle Mariners who came over from Texas. And I mentioned because he played in Texas, he's much better when he's on the field, even though he's not a great defensive catcher. So they're not going to do that. But at DH, 167, 0-2, 2 runs, 3 fantasy points, and he's currently in a 2-for-21 slump. Okay, so he's got to go. He's got no value on a fantasy team because if you're a DH and you're not hitting, no value.
I agree 100% on that one. All right, here's my question. I got a guy on one of my teams. He's not on my team in our league. In our league, he's on Nathan Nguyen's team. But I drafted him in a league, held on to him. He's pitched 2 games. Blake Snell. Pitched 3 innings against Washington. He got 5 strikeouts, but he gave up 3 earned runs, only 1 fantasy point. Against Tampa, he goes 4 innings, allowing 7 earned runs and only 4 strikeouts to go along with it for negative 4 points. How long should I be patient with Blake Snell?
I would, since it's Blake Snell, I'd give him at least, I'm going to say, at least two more starts.
Okay. Friday, he plays Arizona.
Okay, that does not help your situation. I guess you could say, well, he went three innings and he went four, I guess.
Yeah, he's improving.
Yeah. So maybe next time he'll go five.
Yeah. So, I agree with you. I think four or five starts with a guy of Blake Snell's caliber, I think that makes sense. I mean, you know me, I'm typically patient with guys. I've been less patient this year. But that being said, I'm sitting here watching Blake Snell, and I'm going, oh, come on, man. Like, at least give me 10 points. What are we doing? Negative four, 1 point? I mean, it's just not working for me right now.
Right. So, you know, we all know. And this is another cautionary tale about Jordan Montgomery as well. Not having pitched in spring training is going to have a negative impact on both. And we could see it on Snell, but right. I think the same thing's going to happen to Jordan Montgomery. So patience right now. If you don't believe in him and you don't need the ratios, or you don't, you know, it's coming down that you've got the lead in whoever it is you're playing, then you could maybe put him on your bench.
Yeah.
So, and just see how it goes. But don't be making any moves on Blake Snell until it's hitting you right in the head. Well, he's not the Cy Young Award winner that he was a year ago.
Yeah. Agreed. All right. So I'm watching our league here, Kevin.
Yeah, I need to watch that.
I'm 2-0 playing Mike Brown this week. I'm currently losing by 1 point. I've got two guys playing. He's got one guy playing. I've got Machado and Merrill, and he has Muncy. I had a relief pitcher, Jax Griffin, go negative 10 today. Without that negative 10, I get this win easily. But here I sit watching Manny Machado, who's currently got 6 points in the bottom of the fourth inning, and Jackson Merrill, who currently has 1 point in the bottom of the fourth inning and the LA-San Diego matchup. And like I said, he's got Max Muncy right now, who just homered because he now has seven points. So I think Muncy just homered, which puts me down by 8 points. So I need Merrill and Machado to come through for me, because Griffin Jacks may have just blown my great start out of the water. Defending champ, by the way, Chase Thornton. He is 2-0. Let me look and see real quick what we're looking like for him. Let's see here. He is going to win again today, so he'll be 3-0. Then we got the Battle of the Unbeatens, Nathan Nguyen and Dan DiMicco. Right now, DiMicco leads by 7 points in that matchup. Let's see here. Then Brad Redlinski, right now worst team in the league. He's going to get beat again this week by Ryan Capalbo, and Capalbo go 2-1. And then the Battle of the Unbeatens, Kevin Wilson and Dale Stover, my dad. My dad hates it when we don't give him his props. Oh. Well, Dad, you're 0-2. But he's right now beating you by 30 points, and looks like he's going to take the matchup today. Kevin, you are this hot start guy the last couple of years, and you're still trying to find your footing right now. I mean, now listen, you scored 369, which is better than a lot of guys in our league. Let's see here. I think that's third best in the league today, this week. So even though the record's 0-2, you're still putting up points.
Well, I'm a little confused, I have to say, Vince, because last week I was up by a point late in the game, and it was Houston and Texas. I was up by a point. He had Diaz, who came up and he struck out. Uh-huh. And that should have gave me a 2 point lead. And all of a sudden the next morning I wake up and I lose by 6. I don't understand how this happened. I don't know what kind of math we're using over here, new math or what it is. I should have won that by 2 points.
I'll have to talk to the manager about this.
I was like, how did I lose this? I don't get it. But that's what I was telling Sandy earlier. I'm like, you know, I'm coming on the show and getting my head beat in. And there's been times where one fantasy league, I went unbeaten the entire season from start to finish.
Right. Yeah.
And here I am struggling. So maybe that's, you know, I can be Rocky.
That's right.
Kind of thing. So, yeah,
we'll just lost all our listeners, but that's, yeah. I'm looking at it right now though, Kevin, let's see here. Dad has allowed 901 points against him, which is the most in the league. Man, we got some high scoring games though. You're at 870, and you're allowed less points than Dad is 901. Chase is 881. Let's see here. Ohio down to clowns. Mike Brown 880. So you're not even the worst at that. You just gotten the bad go of it here in these first couple.
Yeah, well, you know, when you get 1 point out of Spencer Strider.
Yeah, that hurts.
Yeah, you're kind of swimming upstream a little bit.
All right. Well, even in your discouragement, you're still writing articles on bellyupfantasysports.com. Tell the fine folks what they can expect from you this week.
Well, if you go to the Belly Up Fantasy website, as I mentioned, I talk about pitchers, not just Spencer Strider, but I talk about Framber Valdez, and I talk about Shane Beavers, another guy. He had surgery Friday. He's down for the year. And there are some other pitchers I talk about and who to replace them with. And there are other pitchers other than what we've discussed here on this show. So you're definitely going to want to go over to the Belly Up Fantasy website, baseball, my stories at the top, and check that out. And I'm going to have another story, as I always do every week. Who knows? You know, like they said, who knows what the Phantom, what is that line? Who knows what the Phantom knows? Or I don't know. But anyway, so we'll find out what together what I put across over there. But I've got articles about baseball on the fantasy, you know, on that fantasy site, Belly Up Fantasy site. So you can go and go a little deeper than that one article if that's what you want to do. But I'll definitely get over there and check that out.
Awesome. And of course, you can find them on Twitter as well, Kevin62WILSEA. On there, I want to shout out my boys, 15 and 12. They are both in fantasy baseball for the first time in their lives. And coming into this week, they're both undefeated, 2-0 for both of them, which is incredibly fun to watch and exciting to see. I'm looking right now, real quick, to see. Let's see here. My youngest is winning right now here in the final day. My oldest is crushing his opponent as well. So they should both be 3-0. By the end of this week. And so I want to shout them out as well, even though they don't listen to the show. Well, they listen while they're sitting in the room playing video games and we're talking, but they can't hear you, Kevin, because I got headphones on. So they're missing out on all the good stuff. But nonetheless, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Sports Stove. This week, I know we're going to do a show midweek. I don't think we're going to do a show tomorrow night, which would be our local hour covering EKU sports. But I do not believe we're going to have that going on. But Wednesday or Thursday, it might end up being Thursday again this week due to some other things. But either way, we'll put out a show. Me and Dad will be on there talking. NFL draft, we're going to go heavy into the NFL draft now for the next couple of weeks. And then we'll be talking Major League Baseball and maybe some UFC 300, some other things going on as well this week. Last week's program, if you missed it, it did not make it to YouTube, but it is on the audio version. So if you go to the Sports Stove podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast, you can go find the Sports Stove podcast. You will find last week's episode there. But we had to pre-record and we went a little too long for it to be able to do what I needed to do to get it to YouTube quickly. So, needless to say, it's there, but thanks for tuning in. I'll tell you what, we had a good time. Had some comments tonight. Appreciate both of
you,
those that were commenting and asking questions. We love it when people ask questions.
That's what we're here to help.
Yeah, we don't like it when they mock us, but we do like it when they ask questions.
So, you know, I'm used to being mocked a little bit, so I'm ready to handle it.
All right. Well, that's it for tonight. Reminder, go visit our sponsors, bellyupfantasysports.com, righteousfelon.com, and seatgeek.com. Use those promo codes to get some discounts, some jerky, some tickets, whatever it may be, and enjoy some time with people that you love as well. We will be back next Sunday bringing you the latest fantasy baseball talk as well, so make sure you tune in then. Thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Sports Stove Fantasy Baseball Show. Until next time, we'll see you around the Sports Stove.
See you then.